Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy, produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
The potential for geothermal is bubbling just under the surface, but will that surface end up being in another country? I'm John Davis reporting. Geothermal energy is seen as one of the cleanest and most efficient in the world, ranking right up there with the likes of wind energy. Executive Director of the Geothermal Energy Association, Carl Gaywell, says his group's energy source is seeing small but steady signs of growth. But he believes that trends moving energy away from coal-fired plants could see things pick up for geothermal.
There's a huge need to replace and displace coal-fired power generation, which one of the traditional ways of geothermal, is that we're baseload power, so replacing baseload coal plants with baseload geothermal plants is a pretty good fit in terms of the grid. But also we've been stressing that there's a lot of new interest in the extent to which geothermal power plants can help firm the grid and provide power on short notice because we have a much more dynamic grid with wind and solar and smart meters involved. And I think geothermal is going to increasingly play a role of being not just firm power, but also flexible power.
And he says geothermal's ability to provide that steady, on-demand power makes it a perfect complement to other renewables.
At our recent summit that we just held in Reno, we had a lot of discussion with the California utilities, the Nevada utilities, the ISO in California, and some of the major companies like Ormat and Calpine about how they view geothermal and the fact that technically we have in Hawaii, the newest Ormat Edition plant will be turned over to the utility on a basis where it will be dispatchable. And Ormat presented a technical paper that looked at binary power plants showing that they can actually ramp up and ramp down faster than a natural gas plant. So the question isn't whether the technology can meet the needs for more flexible power as we put more intermittence on the system, because it can. The question is, how do we make it fit? What's the right mix of technologies to give the system the reliability it needs? And bottom line is, what's the economics? Because any peaking plant or any plant that's going to be dispatched very quickly is going to have a whole different set of economics than a plant that's baseload power.
Gaywell says the economics are no problem, except for the high amount of money it takes to start up.
The upfront cost is high, and the risk of developing new areas because of the resource risk is considered high. So investors are reluctant if they're not going to get a good return to be investing in geothermal. So the barriers tend to be related to resource risk, and the initial cost is higher, but again, you're getting a different product. You're not getting a product that's got a 15-year lifetime. You got a product which has a 50-year lifetime and the ability to produce power all day and all night when you need it.
Another issue that American geothermal energy faces is that while the U.S. technology is among the world's best, some of the best areas in the world to tap into geothermal are outside of this country.
The rest of the world has some very attractive resources compared to the United States. A lot of our high-temperature resource, the geysers fields in Northern California, for example, were developed 20 years ago. Indonesia, East Africa, the Philippines, I mean, they're developing high-temperature resources. They have thousands of megawatts of undeveloped high-temperature resource. Most of the geothermal plants in the United States have been more moderate-temperature resource, which is harder to work with, more difficult to find, but much more widespread. So the good news is, technologically, U.S. firms are really at the cutting edge because our resource is at the cutting edge. The bad news is, economically, the resources in Central America and Indonesia and East Africa are much better economic development targets for most companies.
Gaywell says that's not all bad news, since U.S. companies have the edge in developing the technology that could be sold to these other countries. That's also why he's encouraging folks from around the globe to take part in the Geothermal Energy Association's Geothermal Energy Expo 2013, September 29th through October 2nd, at the MGM Grand Hotel and Resort in Las Vegas.
Well, the Expo is our annual trade show. It's the GRC's annual meeting, which presents a series of several hundred technical papers. We do a big trade show associated with that. It's the largest geothermal trade show in the world. It's at the end of September, and this year it's in Las Vegas. And we'll also be overlaying that a series of programs throughout the first couple of days, throughout Monday and Tuesday, on the international market, having people talk coming there from Kenya, Ethiopia, East Africa, some of the Caribbean countries, European representatives and others, because there is such a dynamic. The world market is just almost growing double digits, and that's where there's tremendous interest right now and tremendous growth. And so we'll have technical papers, we'll have a trade show hall where you can see the companies and their technology and meet other people. And we'll also have a series of programs for Monday and Tuesday that will cover the world market developments around the world.
Gaywell says registration is available now through the group's website, www.geo-energy.org, and they hope to see you in September. I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.